Golf Smarter number 112 for February 5, 2008.
SmarterPodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.
Impact Golf and Couture Putters with Todd Soans.
This is Golf Smarter. Each week we tap the best minds in golf to help lower your scores with tips, drills, insights, and advice. In conversation with course pros, architects, authors, players, teaching gurus, and coaches, here's your host, Fred Green.
Welcome and thank you for participating in another episode of the Golf Smarter Podcast. Our guest today is Todd Soans. Todd has been voted one of the top 100 golf instructors in America by Golf Magazine every year since 1995 and has twice been named Teacher of the Year by the Illinois PGA. He opened the Impact Golf Schools in 1998 and has worked with numerous PGA and LPGA professionals. He also features a TriMeasure putter fitting system for his line of customized Couture golf putters. Welcome, Todd.
Hi, Fred. It's great to be with you today.
Thank you so much. I think that the wintertime, at least for me when I'm not playing as much as I'd like, focusing on putting seems to me a very logical place to go because you don't have to be outdoors for it. You can keep it in your head, but you also can keep it in your house if you want to. Do you find that practicing your putting during the winter is really helpful?
I think it's helpful to practice indoors all the time. You know, even the tour players that I spend time with, I can tell you right now, there's not too many tour players that don't spend time in their hotel room working on their putting strokes, you know, through mirrors, awareness. There's a lot of drills you can do indoors, and usually you can find either a thin carpet, and there's even a lot of great, you know, indoor putting surfaces you can buy now at a very inexpensive price you can find on the internet all day long.
How much of the time that you spend with students, and I know that you have the Impact Golf School, so you see a lot of students, not just who you work with at the club that you work at, how much of it is spent on putting?
You know, that's a great question, Fred. I changed my instruction model about 8 years ago. I started the Impact Golf School in 1997, and so I was into it about 2 years. And, you know, I'm a results guy. I feel like if someone comes to me and they spend their time and their resources to get better, you know, I really want to see, is their handicap lowering? And to be honest, I really looked at that and I thought, you know what, people are getting better, but they're not getting better at the rate that I think that they should based on the time and the finances they're spending with us. And the whole key to that is because, like most professionals, we were making the mistake of spending way too much time just working on their full swing. And we were teaching them to hit the golf ball better. And that's great, except that it's only 35% of the game. You know, if you break down the score of golf, 40% of your score every time you play golf is on the green. 25% of your score is from the edge of the green to about 50 yards out. And then the remaining, you know, 25% of your score, 30% of your score is from 50 yards to the tee box. So when you spend 90% of your time working on just a portion of the game, you're simply not going to get better or as good as you could get if you invested your time equally. So we changed our approach. Our approach to teaching golf is now we break everything into thirds. And so we want to spend a third of the time putting, a third of the time working on from the edge of the green to 25 yards out, and then a third of the time working from the edge of the green to 50 yards out, and then the final third of the time, 50 yards to the tee box. And so that balanced approach has really helped us to help a lot of people. And on top of that, especially our junior, we teach a lot of competitive juniors. We try to get them to practice the same way. So let's say that you're going to go out and practice and you're going to spend 45 minutes. We want your first 15 minutes to be putting, your second 15 minutes to be the short game area, and then the third 15 minutes to be full swing. If it's an hour and a half, then it's 30-30-30. If it's 3 hours, it's 1-1-1. And if we get people practicing in that system and just ingraining that system, it's amazing, you know, how much better, you know, and how much more effective their time is spent, which really relates to lower scores.
Well, as a student, first of all, let me thank you for being one of those that is results-oriented. I've found that there are people who just want to have you come back again and again and again, and you may feel like you're making progress, but you're not really sure. And the fact that you want to make sure that there is progress being done, it allows us to spend more money on the golf course.
Well, you know, the bottom line is it's easy to qualify. I mean, we track handicaps, and you know, is someone getting better? You know, and you get this student, there's no doubt about it, it takes two to get better. You know, I always say that. It takes a good instructor to set a plan, and then it takes a good student to implement the plan. So, you know, I'm the first to say, you know, don't expect a miracle lesson, you know, from me or from us if you come to my school. Some people come and they think, okay, I'm going to take a lesson, and I'm going to get taught what to do, and I'm going to be better. And that never works.
No.
Basically, you know, what we can do is say, okay, here's your golf swing, and here's what we have to do. You have to go to work at it. You know, I take what I call a staircase approach to learning. And what that means is that to get better, there's three areas that I focus on as far as the staircase goes. The first thing you have to do is you have to have the right information. So there's a lot of people out there, and it doesn't matter what part of the game you're talking about right now, it's the same system. There's a lot of people out there that don't have the right information. So whether they're getting their information from a friend, a playing partner, which is probably the most common source, or it might be a magazine and it might be a good article, but it might not apply to the person, or a videotape or the golf channel or whatever their source is, you know, does the information that they have really apply to their individual needs? So number one, you have to have the right information. Then you have to organize the information in the right order. Okay, so that's the process. It's, you have to do step one before you do step four. Some people are, you know, working at impact when they should be working on their grip. So the right information in the right order. And then the third thing is you have to take the steps, the order of the steps, at the right pace. And that's very individual. Some people can go up that staircase faster than others, depending on their amount of time they put into practice, their athletic ability. And so we're always trying to kind of build an individual plan for each person based on what, you know, their time that they can put into it, their athleticism, that is very individual. And that's where a lot of people, I mean, I think the big problem is our society, that we got to have everything right now. And if it doesn't happen right now, we're going to look for the other quick fix. And ultimately, those are the people that their handicap never gets better and often gets worse.
Well, luckily, you know, podcasting may be guilty of wanting it right now, but having it on demand, having it when I'm ready, is exactly what we have here, too. But you can't get those kind of results quickly, especially in a game like golf, which takes years and years to get better at. So getting quick fixes just doesn't work.
Well, the great thing about podcasts is that, you know, you're not fixing your golf swing. You're learning about your golf swing. I mean,
yeah.
What we're doing right now is we're talking about how to get better. We're not getting people better. We're just talking about this is how you can get better, truly.
And the mindset is so important on getting better.
It is. You know, you have to, I mean, perspective is everything, you know, and it's probably everything with anything if you think about it. You know, if you go into taking a lesson and you have the wrong perspective of what the right outcome is, you know, you could think you're failing when, in fact, you're succeeding. You know, someone thinks that they're supposed to exit the lesson and hit a high draw when they start out, you know, hitting a low shank. You know, that's a ridiculous expectation.
Hmm.
And yet, you know, the best thing that may happen in that situation is if someone literally learns how to get in the right posture, whether it has no effect on the flight of their golf ball or not, they're doing a foundational step that's going to help them to get a lot better in the long term. So I think most people really have to take a step back and become much more patient. You know, I tell you what, Tiger Woods has been so great for the game in so many ways. And one of the ways he's been great for the game is that he's very vocal about the effort that it takes and the instruction that he takes and the patience that he implies to get better. You know, he doesn't, when he starts to make a swing change, you know, he doesn't expect it to work today or tomorrow. It might be an 18-month process for him, but he's long-term oriented, and he pays the price. And you know, we've got to see the benefit from that, and we get to enjoy it. You know, we get to see the outcome of his hard effort, but you know, we can all learn from that too.
Is there a downside to him being that good? I mean, it has been great for the game.
Yeah,
there's
a downside to 124 guys that have their PGA Tour card. There's a downside for them.
There's
but,
no competition.
For us, there's no downside because, you know, he just lifts the bar up higher. And, you know, I've been around a lot of tour players. You know, you can say what you want, but they're not going to quit. And they're going to keep trying to get better. And whether or not they catch him, or there's some young players coming up now, you know, and everybody wants to catch him. Well, that's great because he just moves the bar up higher. We get to see better golf. They're going to try to be better to get there, and that's how anything gets better. So I think I see no downside in his greatness.
Absolutely. Hey, listen, let me ask you, I'd love to get some takeaways from you if we can, and I'm not sure if we should start with at 50 yards in to the edge, or should we just work on putting?
You know, I think there's so much out there, you know, on the full swing and even on the short game, and there's so little out there in putting. I think that we could, you know, spend our time wisely, and you know, the people that listen to this would get the most out of really listening to what they could do on the green to improve.
Awesome. I'm all for it. And I also want to make sure that we talk about couturegolf.com and the putters that you have created and the whole concept of getting fitted for putters, which we really have not spent a lot of time talking about, and I'm absolutely fascinated to discuss. But let's talk about putting. Let's talk about the most glaring mistakes that you see from, let's say, middle handicap players, people who are in the 10 to 20 range. Who feel like they've got a comfortable game, but they're still, you know, if they don't improve that much, that's okay, but they can improve so much more on the green.
Absolutely. Well, I'll tell you the most, I think the most glaring problem in putting is perception. And what I mean by that is, you know, the typical person comes to a lesson and they think that, you know what, I've got to learn to drive the golf ball better. I've got to learn to hit the golf ball better. If I take that person out to the golf course, I'm going to say 80% of the time, they lose way more strokes on the green and around the green than they do off the tee box. And so the perception isn't really correct of where the problems are. I have a lot of people that come and they say, you know, my putting's really good or pretty good, and it's not the biggest problem. And I'll say, well, okay, well, we're going to work on your full swing, which is what you want to do. But for the next 4 weeks, I want you to keep your total putts. You know, and they'll say, well, I think I average 30 or 31 putts. And then they go out and they keep their total, and they're averaging 35, 36, you know, they, you know, have a day they have 38 putts. And if that player is an 18 handicap player, which is common, you know, they're literally throwing away six, you know, shots per round. I think that the average person should set a standard, which I think is a very achievable standard of an average of 32 putts, you know, and I really push people to 30, because if you think of it like this, the tour player, the best putter on tour this year is going to average right around 27 putts, and that's been consistent for a number of years. The worst is going to average 29 putts. All right. Now, if there's one part of the game where the average person has a chance to play at a tour level, it's putting. I don't care if someone's 80 years old, they can learn to make a 5-foot putt under pressure, mm-hmm. right? Because the putter just moves back and forth a short distance. It doesn't take strength. It doesn't take flexibility. It doesn't take a high level of coordination. It takes good fundamentals that anybody can learn.
And a clear mind?
And a clear mind. Well, and a lot of times, you know, how does our mind get clouded? It gets clouded because we got all this garbage that we're trying to think about, you know, so you know, that's in the approach to putting, which we can talk about in a little bit. But at any rate, you know, that, like I said, I think the biggest problem is first getting people to understand that, you know what, you need to have a balanced approach to practicing, and you really need to know where you're at, where you're losing your shots, and most people just need to flat out go work on their putting and then have a system and a method and real things they're trying to work at. You know, working on your putting doesn't mean going to the putting green and hitting, you know, 6 and 10 foot putts, you know, for half an hour. It means practicing good fundamentals that really will last and work on the golf course. You know, so that's the first problem.
If I can interrupt you for a moment, I want to make sure that we are both clear on exactly what it is to track our putts. It's not just how many times I pull the putter out and swing it. We're talking about putts that start from the green to the hole, right? Because I know there's plenty of times where I'll be putting because I'll be on the fringe or I'll be just on the second cut. Now, that doesn't count as one of those putts, does it?
Well, I'll tell you what, I do something different there. I do what makes sense, and I tell my students to do this. So if I'm you know, off the edge of the green and I'm 50 feet away from the hole, you know, and I've got 2 feet of fringe I'm going to go over, I mean, you know, that may be considered a chip shot, and you happen to use a putter. Now,
sure.
If the pin's close to the edge of the green and I'm 12 feet away and I've got a foot of fringe I'm going to go over, that's a putt. You know, just make common sense out of it. It's
okay.
Like, you know, you look at it, you go, you should two-putt this.
Okay.
Or, you know, I can understand a three-putt from this position. So that's what I ask my students to do. It has a little more to do with distance and just what makes sense than really a rule, a set rule. That's how I do it.
Okay. All right. Well, good. Then Well, and I walk away from a round going, all right, well, if I had a 34 to 36 putt, I feel okay because I'm doing two putts per hole. I should be doing, but you're saying I should be doing less.
Well, I would say this. Think of it like this. I mean, if you were hitting every green in regulation, and that means you were putting from 15 to 30 feet, then, you know, it might be acceptable to have 34 putts. But that's not the reality. The reality is you're going to miss a bunch of greens, way more than you hit.
Yep.
Therefore, you should be putting from, if you're decent around the green, you know, but you should be putting from much closer distances than, you know, 15 to 30 feet. And so you should have some makeable putts in a round of golf. And so there's that aspect to it. You know, the average tour player is averaging, you know, let's say 28 putts for the average guy on tour. You know, they're hitting somewhere around 11, 12, 13 greens per round on average. So they're putting from greater distances from many people that are chipping, you know, from the edge of the green, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. So I just think that it's very achievable, you know, for people. You know, good players, you know, I want them under 30. And average players, you know, let's say an 18 handicap player, I really expect them to be around 32. And if you told me, Todd, my day in, day out average is 35, I'm like, Fred, you should be three shots better, and let's work at that goal. And it's amazing. You can get there.
Awesome. I hope you're right. I heard an amazing statistic once that the average amateur's first putt is 19 feet, and Tiger's first putt is generally 21 feet.
Yeah, how about that?
Well, it's because they said he's there in two and we're there in three.
Right.
And so it's like, oh, okay. Yeah. That makes
sense.
Work
on your chipping a little bit, get a little closer, and then work on your putting a lot. And I'm telling you what, it's three or four shots a round.
All right, let's get practicing here. Let's get some lesson. I got a putter in my hand right now, actually. So maybe I shouldn't be, but let's talk about where shall we begin to improve our fundamentals?
Well, here's where it starts. It doesn't start in the motion of the stroke. It starts in the setup. And so a lot of the work that I've done with tour players, I've learned this through experience. Anytime that I've asked a tour player to think about what his putter's doing during the putting stroke, you take their mind and their concentration away from the most important things, which is the hole, the speed of the putt, and the line that the ball rolls on. Mm-hmm. And so when anybody putts at the highest level, and any good player would tell you this, say, what are you thinking about? They get a blank stare in their eyes because they were not thinking about anything. They're just looking at the hole and they're reacting to it. But when that happens, you know, the other thing that you can say is their fundamentals are good because the ball has to roll straight off the face of the putter. So the question becomes, how do I get the ball to roll straight off the face of the putter, and how do I have solid mechanics when I'm not thinking about my stroke mechanically? And so the whole key to that lies in the setup. And so let's spend some time talking about the keys. There's six keys in the setup that I focus on when I watch someone putt. Because, for instance, if you took a lesson from us and I saw your putter going outside and open, I could give you a mechanical lesson, right? Or let's say it's going outside and shut, which is a pretty common takeaway problem. All right, what I would do is I would look at you and I would try to figure out in your setup what's causing the problem and fix the setup, because the alternative would be, Fred, you're taking the putter at outside and shut. I want you to bring it back inside and feel like you open it up. And I could even take some tees and put them in the ground and force you to sit there and practice making the putter go back in a direction it doesn't really want to go. And the problem with it, I don't care if you do that 1,000 times, the minute you go to the golf course, the putter's going to go where it wants to go when you stop thinking about it. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Right? So you don't want to get a player where they've got to control it mentally. You want to get it where the putter goes back correctly without them having to think about it.
Of course.
Right, so here's some of the common setup problems. Number one, I see way too many people out there with a putter that's too long for them and that forces them to stand up too tall. And if they're too tall, then the other thing that I see them doing is they open their shoulders. So in relation to the line, they get their shoulders to the left, they're set up too tall, and then from there, all the putter can really do is go outside in. You know, I'm doing some testing right now. We have a piece of equipment called the Sam Putt Lab where we can really test the details of someone's putting stroke. And right now I can tell you that about 80% of the people that we test cut across the golf ball outside to in, which is interesting because it's very much like the golf swing problems. And so the common problems to outside in are open shoulders. I mean, that's the biggest, open shoulders. And then also when people line up to the left of their target, well, they're forced to cut across the golf ball.
Can you please define open shoulders for me for a right-handed golfer a little
better? Sure. Open shoulders would mean that your right shoulder is closer to your intended target line than your left, and your left is pulled back away. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, okay. So as if it's my chest is almost facing
the target? There's a very common reason for that. You know, if you think about it, we're built, as human beings, we're built to look straight ahead and face our target. And so when a lot of people set the putter down on the ground, they automatically turn a little bit toward their target. And I have plenty of people that even tell me, you know, I'm much more comfortable open, you know, meaning that they know they open up a little bit, you know, with their feet especially. But what they don't realize, if your shoulders are open, well, the path of the putter is going to go outside in. Mm-hmm. If the path of the putter is outside in, you know, it's simply the only way for you to make the putt at that point is hold the face open to the right, and it's basically like a cut spin. And that's the most common problem. People that have left to right putts with a cut spin, that's where the ball is cutting left to right, they're always going to miss on the low side. That's what we call it, the amateur side. And yet, the same people, most people, when you test them, they'll do much better on a left to right putt, right? Because that cut spin is reversing. This is probably too technical for what we're kind of talking about today. But bottom line, just know this. Most people stand up too tall, open their shoulders up, cut across the ball. They have to hold the face opener to the right to make the ball go into the hole, and they put side spin on the golf ball, and it really wreaks havoc on your results.
Fascinating.
So let's fix it now, right?
Yep.
Now, to fix it, most people really have to learn to get into a better forward tilt. I mean, if you watched Daniel Chopra, or, I mean, Tiger Woods is a great example. And just look at their upper body, how it's tilted forward. And what that basically does, it allows the arms to swing under your body. So you want to have enough forward tilt so your arms can swing underneath your body, and that's really important because then your shoulders can square up. And one of the most important fundamentals, once you're in a good setup, is to keep your body still. Any good putter will tell you, if you move your upper body, you know, you're going to miss hit the putt. You have to learn to stay still. And a lot of people know that, but they're not in a position to stay still. So what we focus on in putting is first getting people in the right setup, in the right posture, forward tilt, with their shoulders square, their weight balanced on their feet, and we want their weight really right in the middle of their feet from their toes to their heels so that when the putter swings back, they stay in balance. I'll give you a quick story. I was working with Chip Beck last year, prior to when he went out on the Champions Tour, and Chip's tendency was to crowd the golf ball and get his weight back on his heels. And he could lift it. One of the ways you can check this is once you're set up to the golf ball, if your weight's too much on your heels, which is a very common problem, you can lift your toes into the air without moving. And yet, if you were actually on your toes, you could lift your heels in the air. And so one of the things that I taught Chip is that when he took his stance, I said, I want you to be able to take your stance so that you can't lift your toes or your heels, which really means you're centered on your feet. And if you're centered on your feet, when that putter starts to swing, your chance of staying still is much, much better. Does that make sense?
Very much so.
Okay, so I've given you three big fundamentals right now. Tilt from the hips, and I should say tilt from the hips so that your eyes come to rest over the golf ball. That's important for alignment and sighting your target. As you also tilt from the hips, you allow your hands to hang directly under your shoulders. And then third fundamental, as you tilt from the hips, you want to make sure your hips are over your heels so that your weight is distributed evenly between the ball at your feet and your heels so that now you're balanced. Those are your three fundamentals, eyes over the ball, hands under the shoulders, hips over the heels. And so we really work hard on that with people. And, you know, here would be a good, you know, obviously we're talking right now and this is a podcast, but here's a great visual. If you had people go to our website at Couture Golf,
CouturGolf.com.
Exactly. So if someone went to the website, there's literally on the home page, you can click on Free Clinic by Todd Soans, and you can watch me give a live clinic to students that are coming through our Scoring Zone school where I talk through all these fundamentals. All right, so we've gotten people now into the right setup position. Now, apart from a putter, which is one of the greatest influences to how you're going to position your body, if I have the wrong length putter, the length of the putter influences the distance you stand from the ball. It influences how far your arms hang in relation to the ground. You know, if the putter's too short, you tend to stretch your arms out. And if it's too long, this is really common. You see people get their elbows jammed up into their body, and they get that kind of jammed up, stuck look. right? And then the other thing...
Didn't Palmer have that, his elbows out? Wasn't that Palmer? Was that...
Yeah, he did. He absolutely did.
Yeah.
He, you know, and I think when you're young and you've got a lot of nerves, you can get away with that. But as you know, he didn't really do so well with his putting late in his career, and he's always struggling with that. But if you look at, you know, the putters of today, Tiger Woods is and so many of the tour players, I mean, they look very similar. They're tilted, and their arms are underneath them. Their elbows are closer together. And it's just a fundamentally simpler way to putt. But
well, let me ask you a question. I'm going to go selfish here for just a moment, since I'm listening to you and walking through this with you. I go left hand low.
Yep.
When I putt, and my left arm is hanging straight, but my right arm seems to be elbow out a little more.
Yep. I would probably, you know, I would have to look at it to see. I mean,
that's
very individual at this point, but you know,
it's my podcast.
What happens if your arms get too straight? Is that you're forced to dip at your shoulders. Like Steve Jones is one of the guys I work with, and Steve has a tendency to get his arms a little too straight, and when he does, he dips at his shoulders, and when you dip at your shoulders, the putter goes up in the air, and you lose the loft in the face. And then it's not that you can't hit a good putt, but it's what I call a complex putting stroke, meaning that you have a small margin for error. The time in which the putter comes back and the face is proper in relation to the ball is much smaller than when a player has the putter swinging more level to the ground. He has a greater margin for error with the loft of the putter. So I don't like to see people tip their shoulders, because I know it gives them a very small margin for error. Anytime your arms are straight, you're going to have a tendency to have more tip in your stroke. So whether or not a player's left hand low, and you know, Jay Williamson's one of the guys that I've worked with a lot. You know, Jay putts left hand low and putts very well that way, but we try to keep the proper amount of flex in both elbows. So that's important. That's an important fundamental to putting.
And then belly putters too. I mean, you got the longer putters now that are becoming more and more popular.
Well, belly putting and long putting is very different.
It's
same in that you're attached to the body, but belly putting is conventional putting, meaning you should be in the same posture. Your eyes are over the golf ball. Your hands are under your shoulders, and it would be a conventional length, except it's attached to the belly. All right. And so it's kind of like the best of both worlds in a way, because, you know, there's a downside to long putting, and that is that you're very tall. Your eyes aren't over the golf ball, so it's really hard. There's alignment problems typically with people that use long putting, because they really can't get over it very well, and it's really kind of awkward. Now, the upside to it is that when you attach the putter to your body, it is easier to bring it back to the same place. So, you know, I'm pretty much a big fan of belly putting. I'm one of those people that think that the USGA made a mistake in not outlawing immediately when someone started to attach the putter to their body. It just doesn't make sense to me. A rule of golf is that the club is supposed to be free swinging, and if it's attached to your body, it's not free swinging. So I think that one got by them, and I think, truth be known, they probably regret that a little bit at this point.
Well, that's interesting. We're getting tight on time here. I apologize for this. I'd love to have you come back and continue the conversation, but let's talk about couturegolf.com for a moment and the fact that you manufacture your own custom putters.
I did. The reason I started Couture Golf is because, again, going back to, I'm a results-oriented teaching professional. You know, for me to be successful, people have to get better. That's the bottom line.
Right.
And so many people came to our golf school, and I would say easily 80 to 90% showed up with a putter that they bought off a shelf that had nothing to do with whether or not it fit them individually. And so they're handicapped in their setup because the putter was never made for them, and it wasn't made for them to fit in a correct setup position. So if you buy a putter off the shelf and it's not the right length for you, which rarely is it, you're going to compromise in your setup, which is going to cause flaws in your stroke. And so my goal was, okay, let's get people in the proper setup first. That's how we devised the tri-fit method. And then once they're in the right setup, then we can figure out the length of the putter that fits them. And then based on the length, and this is the other big thing that most people have no idea about, but swing weight may be one of the most important things about a putter. And here's what swing weight is. Swing weight is the weight of a golf club, the head, a club head, as it goes back and forth. And so if you just think of a pendulum for a minute, you know, you can imagine a pendulum and the weight at the bottom of the pendulum going back and forth. Well, that's what swing weight is. When you cut down a putter, you lose six swing weights. And specifically, for every inch you cut a club down, you lose six swing weights, right? If you cut it down 2 inches, if you went from 35 to 33, or you grip down on a putter, it has the same effect. You're losing 12 swing weights, which you're basically going to lose the feel of the putter. And so when you look at a putter, a player from face on, and you look at a putter head going back and forth, it should be doing two things. It should be going back and forth the same distance, and it should have a constant rate of acceleration. So as it starts the downstroke, if it was at 1 mile an hour, it should be at 5 at impact. It would go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 at impact, and then it would go 4, 3, 2, 1, which is how it balances out on the other side. But very few people have command of that. And so the two things that I built Couture on was, number one, get a putter that fits your body so that you can set up to it properly. One way we did that, there's two ways you can get a Couture putter. You can go online and use our online system. You plug in your height and your knuckles to ground. And if you plug in those two measurements, it'll actually tell you this is what length putter that would fit you. Now, you still have to set up to it properly. All right, so that's one way you can find out the right length. And then once we have the length, we have a scale that converts it into the right weight. So we make putters in different weights. Manufacturers don't do that right now because it's too complicated for them. If I'm a major manufacturer and I'm going to have 20 putters in my catalog, and then on top of it, I'm going to change those, and you know, those putters, it seems like they change every 6 months now. Well, having 20 models in 3 different weights and 60, it just doesn't work for the major manufacturer. So I have 4 basic models of putters. Each is available in 3 different weights. So once we know the right length for someone, we make it in the right weight. So now they can have a putter that's the right length to set up to it properly. They can have it in the right weight so they can feel the swing weight and really develop a balanced putting stroke. And so that's the things that are so different about Couture. And maybe the other thing that's really important to say is that everybody that sells a Couture putter has to be certified. We have a process, a training process. So if you go to the Couture website and you want to go take a putting lesson, you know, you can trust that everybody that's on our website has gone through a training program, and your chance of getting a good putting lesson, learning to set up putt properly, you know, versus just going to a store where someone's not trained and can't really teach you properly, you know, just doesn't happen. So, you know, through the Couture products, you can really find great instructional or great instructors that can give you great putting lessons.
Phenomenal. And you're in the Chicago area, is that correct?
That's right. I'm, you know, our school is actually located at a course called White Deer Golf Club in the summer, and then we have 2 facilities in the winter. One is called the Buffalo Grove Dome, which is in Buffalo Grove, and then we just started a new relationship with Golf Nation, which is an indoor facility in Palatine, which might be the most complete indoor center in the country right now. It's just an amazing facility.
But for me in California, and for most of our audience that are not in the Chicago area,
right?
What is it that we can do to take advantage of being fitted for a Couture putter?
Well, like I said, there's 2 ways. You can go online, and you can literally use our online system, which is great.
Great.
And all you need is knuckles, you know, your height and your knuckles to ground, and it'll tell you the length of your putter and then the weight. You can see all the models. You can go online and actually see a putter being milled. All our putters are milled at a company called the Dado Group in Montreal, Canada. And I use them because they literally use the best quality machines in the industry. And so the specifications of Couture putters are always perfect. And so that's one way. And then the other way is, you know, you can click on the button that says Locate Fitters.
Oh,
and,
great.
When you click on that, you can find fitters all around California. And it's great. I mean, we're only a year and a half old, and we already have 150 accounts and probably 400 professionals that have been certified around the country. And so it's spreading pretty quickly, you know, when you think about it that way.
Well, I'll tell you, Todd, this is all very fascinating. I love the concept of being custom fitted for a putter. I'd like to ask, if you don't mind, can we give away a custom fit Couture putter on the Golf Smarter podcast?
Yeah, Fred, I'd be glad to do that, just for the fact that, you know, the more people that go to the website at Couture, they'll, you know, I mean, we can only do so much here, but they can. It's such a great learning environment if they go through the website and all the videos and the lessons that we have on the website, so I'd be glad to do that.
Thank you. That's incredibly generous. So if you want to check out what Todd's been talking about, it's couturegolf.com. Make sure you get it correctly on the spelling. That's Couture golf.com. couturegolf.com, all one word, Couture Golf. And you can see about, you know, you'll get instruction on how to get fitted. And if you'd like to enter to win a Couture putter of your own and be custom fit for it, go to golfsmarterpodcast.com, as you have in the past, and click on contest. And you'll make sure you'll have two radio buttons there. Make sure you click on the one that says Couture Golf. And we will pick a name in 3 weeks from now. And you will have a chance, and I'll keep reminding you of it. And the winner will be contacted by Todd and his group, and you'll get your own putter. We'll announce the winner on the air, too.
Great. That'll be fun.
Awesome. Todd, thank you so much. So it's toddsones.com and couturegolf.com. And we really appreciate these lessons and this insight, and hope to hear from you again soon.
My pleasure, Fred. It's great to spend some time with you tonight. Have a great day.
Again, we invite you to register to win a customized Couture golf putter. As always, go to golfsmarterpodcast.com and click on the tab labeled Contest. Once there, select Couture golf putter, fill out your information and the verification code, and click Submit. Now, point of disclosure, this data will be provided to Couture golf in exchange for the giveaway. Now, based on your feedback, we've eliminated zeros, O's, I's, and 1's from the verification process because too many of you weren't sure which was which. Deadline for entry for the Couture golf putter is noon Friday, February 29th, and we'll announce, it's a leap year this year, February 29th, and we'll announce the winner on Golf Smarter, episode of March 4th, 2008. You know, we're also giving away a tailor-made burner driver on Golf Better at Edwin Watts Golf. The same instructions on how to enter at golfsmarterpodcast.com. Deadline for entries is Wednesday, February 20th, and the winner will be announced on Thursday, February 21st, 2008. You know, we've decided that the Ask Kenny segment, which no longer runs in this space, just needed more time so we can discuss your questions. So the show will now be published every other Thursday. If we use your question on the show, you'll receive a free Golf Smarter Edwin Watts golf hat. Just click on the Ask Kenny tab at golfsmarterpodcast.com. So now we have Golf Smarter Tips on Monday, talking about the metal keys with Michael Anthony. Golf Smarter on Tuesdays continue to be in-depth conversations covering a wide array of golf topics. Golf Better at Edwin Watts Golf every other Thursday discussing your questions and golf equipment. And Golf Smarter Tips on Friday with Kirk Jones, simplifying your golf swing. As we get into the golf season, hopefully we'll fulfill your full Golf Jones. Next time on Golf Smarter is going to be a blast. I was invited to Phoenix last week for the Par and Poker Celebrity Golf Challenge for charity, featuring some of the greats in football, baseball, and basketball. Here's a taste of my conversation about golf with legendary Chicago Bears quarterback Jim McMahon.
Golf's all mental. I mean, you have to be brain dead to be good at golf.
And here's basketball legend Dr. J, Julius Erving.
I have my moments out there. I have my moments where I put three or four good holes together, and it seems like I know what I'm doing. Then there's other times when it seems like you never swung a golf club. I guess that's golf.
This week's quote comes with a happy birthday wish. Dwight Brown of Eastern Ontario, Canada, has a birthday on February 7th, and he's been reflecting on this birthday with respect to a round of golf. When asked how he feels about turning 40, Dwight says, "If life is an 18-hole course, I'm at the turn. I just hope I get another 9 holes in before it gets dark." If you have any questions, comments, quotes, or requests, please click on the Hey Fred button at golfsmarterpodcast.com.
Hey, this is Kenny Nicholson of Edwin Watts Golf. We've been so overwhelmed with the amount of emails asking about golf equipment that Ask Kenny will now be on our own podcast, Golf Better at Edwin Watts Golf. Plus, we're going to bring you engineers, designers, and tour players from the major manufacturers to talk about the newest in technology and how it affects your game. Look for a new episode of the Golf Better at Edwin Watts Golf Podcast every other Thursday. Please subscribe on iTunes or listen at golfbetterpodcast.com.